You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flack from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 2, Episode 17 of Cawley's Call. Thank you for being with us, and obviously you might have noticed that we had no show last week, so a little bit of housekeeping. We had to go for a test. I had to go for a test. Thankfully, I'm fine now. I'm looking well. I'm looking healthy. Stu said I'm looking great, actually. Not as well as our guest that we have in studio tonight, because I tell you what, he must be just back from the Bahamas. But we'll get to him in a moment. But yeah, so sorry about missing out last week, but we're back. And also, we have to celebrate. It's a year anniversary since we launched the show. So it's our birthday today as well. Stewie, imagine that. It's this is our 17th episode. We obviously did, was it 20, 25, whatever we did last year as well. So we're going well.
Really?
Well, no, it was the half a season. So did we do 15, 16, whatever it was last year? But we're obviously halfway through this season now as well. And loads more to come. Lots planned as well. Plenty more guests on the way. But I'm delighted to say the guest that we have joining us in studio tonight, as I said, he's just back from the Bahamas, Mr. Eric Lawler. Eric, how are you?
All right, Al. How are you, Stewie? Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Happy birthday, lads.
Yeah.
That's a huge honour that I'm on.
Where's
your
the cake?
I know, if I'd known.
What do you mean, happy birthday, no cake?
You only have to tell me. I feel like one of them is that arrives at a party with no bottle of wine.
Well, we're not that type that we don't be patting ourselves on the back, do we? Should we just get on with it? Stewie's old school, Eric.
I think we should be allowed to drink wine in the show.
Yes,
that's coming.
Graham Norton.
That's coming.
That's a way of getting another sponsor in.
I like it.
Well, Stewie be classy like that. He'd produce probably the Spanish or the French. I wouldn't have a Scooby Doo about wine, so I'm not going there. I wouldn't be a wine man.
What colour is it? Yeah.
I'm not going down that road, but it's good to see you, Eric.
Cheers,
obviously, as you know, you said you listened to the show, so we do speak a lot about your beloved club Bohemians as well, so we thought we obviously try and mix it up with different people from the league and backgrounds and players and managers, and obviously we had Will Clark in a couple of weeks ago now, and Will was great as well, but you're the first fan that we've had in.
I know, proper fan. He must have been stuck for guests this week.
No, first proper fan.
And you know, it's I'm a fan of Bows and a fan of the league for since I could walk and talk, really, Al, you know. So it's as I said, I've been listening to your podcast. Big fan of it. I listen to all League of Ireland podcasts, you know. When they're out there, I'm listening to them as much as I can. I can't get enough of the League of Ireland. I'm addicted.
You do, to be fair. Like, I know we will talk on Bows, but you do champion the league a lot, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I love the dynamic of this show as well. I wanted to say this as well. I love Al, you're very cheery, and Stu is quite grim and dour, but it's bounced off each other brilliantly. But what I love about Stu is Stewie's passion, and he gets really angry sometimes.
He gets angry, doesn't
about
he?
The fact that the league isn't publicised enough. And when he's on a rant like that, I'm like, they're bleeding right, Stewie. They're bleeding right. You're hating him. And I feel his frustrations, you know. And, you know, like, for a long, long time, to me, you know, people would bemoan the fact that the international team isn't playing great football, isn't qualifying for tournaments. And, you know, it's so simple and logical to me that if we don't have a really attractive, fucking productive home league, we're not going to have a happy, productive international team.
Yeah.
You know, for so long we've relied on the English to coach and produce our players, and that has to change now, you know what I mean. And the only way we can do that is, and I think we are heading in the right direction, I do, with the academies and all that. I listened to the Will thing. I think he's a good man, and I think his heart's in the right place, and he looks like he's somebody who wants to make a change, and that's what we need in this country. I'm very optimistic now, I have to say, going forward about the league. And you know, Bowes are building a new stadium, Finn Harps are building a new stadium, and I think that's the bottom line in the league itself. We need facilities. If we get facilities, we're going to get more and more people in. I'm thrilled by the fact that I'm walking around parts of Dublin North Side, Finglas, Ballymun, Coolock. I'm not walking around these places, by the way. I'm not a weirdo. Do you know, I'm driving around, and even worse, no, but I'm going around these areas, and I'm seeing kids with League of Ireland jerseys on them.
Are you seeing that?
Everywhere. Like Bowes jerseys, Shelbourne jerseys, mostly Bowes, I'll be honest with you.
Just in
an area. And I've never seen that before. Okay. It's always been, you know, obviously Man United, Liverpool, Celtic, whatever. But to see the local jerseys out there, it gives me real hope, you know. And even, you know, before this all this shit show happened down in Dalymount, what really enthused me as well was the amount of young people who were in Dalymount, and Friday night had become their staple. It had been their weekend. This is our weekend.
Yeah.
Friday night down at Dalymount. Let's go, boys. And they're going down in gangs. Mm. And it's brilliant to see, like, you know, it's the future.
Absolutely. And it can't come quick enough, really. Like, we've been championing this for years and years since we were playing, Eric, and finally I would agree. I think it is slowly but surely beginning to change. We've discussed it many times, and hopefully it is, and obviously we will, and the different structures, and we're sick of going back to the past. Like, you can,
of course,
you can be going back to the past and shouting and giving out about it for as long as you want, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So hopefully there's a lot more optimism out there, and I do sense that about the league and getting the right structures in place, and as you say, get the facilities up to scratch as well. But I suppose, apart from the league and your Bowes connection, where did that all start? Because you are a big Bowes fan, as you say, you're in Dalymount every week at the matches, but was that since you were a kid as well, or when did that kick off?
Yeah, it's very much since I was a kid. Like, I was born and raised in the first 4 years up beside Fairview Park there, where Balboa were from, and St Bridget's Cottage is there, St Bridget's Avenue in North Strand. And then we moved to Finglas, and I was a 4-year-old. And my dad would walk down to Dalymount from Finglas every Sunday afternoon when it used to be known as the Pack Race Fried Chicken League of Ireland. That was genuine. That's not a lie. The League of Ireland used to be sponsored by Pack Race Fried Chicken.
Really?
That's
what
it was called. The Pack Race Fried Chicken League of Ireland. And I was going, what a lead. Why wouldn't you want to go and see that league? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you want to go down and see what's on offer there? And my dad walked down to from Finglas down past Glass 7 Cemetery up to Dalymount, and I was little short legs trying to run after him. And we'd always stand on the Connick Street and half three was the kickoff on a Sunday afternoon. And it doesn't matter how good the weather was outside, as soon as you went to Dalymount, -4, freezing. And I'd be looking at Turlough O'Connor and all these boys playing with Bowes. And it was before the Jody stand got done up. It was a really old kind of wooden stand, really classic old
with the big
stand.
Dip at the front.
But it was just such a classic old football ground, though, you know. And that was it, like, you know. But like, my dad then subsequently told me a couple of years later, when I could understand, that his granduncles were board members at Bowes. So I have little tie pins of from them, from Bowes, from 1908 and all that, and 1918 and 1948, you know. So there's a long association with the family, I suppose, with the club as well. But then, you know, through all the years, growing up, becoming a teenager, going into your 20s, it became in phases. I wasn't constantly going all those years, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as women and all came on the scene, they were allowed to go out drinking, they're going, I'll see you in a few years. I got the Miami Vice suit on. I'm going out tonight. And these feet were made by dancing. So Friday nights were spent at clubs and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't be asked going down to Dalymount and watching the League of Ireland. And then it copped on, of course. And then my younger brother became a big fan. And then he was, you know, there was periods where I wasn't down there, but he'd be down there. And he's going, oh, you're bleeding, missing. Then I'd go down there. And he was going through his phase of missing it. So there was always a presence of a Lawler there at some stage, you know. So we took shifts, you know.
But in recent times, that love has really come back. Like, you genuinely,
yeah.
Because I know you're a Man United fan, as you see, and all those phases that you would have went through growing up, like us all, whatever. But it's really noticeable in the last few years. You have a major love for the club now, and as you said, the stuff that's going on off the field with Bowes, we had Daniel in studio last year. They've so much good work going on in the community, which is obviously what we all want in terms of the clubs as well. And a lot of the clubs are doing great work, but Bowes in particular have really tapped into that, and they're reaping the rewards out of it because the fan base seems to be growing by the week, really.
I mean,
there's a lot of plans for the stadium. You look at the game next week, obviously, in the Aviva as well, and a lot of work went into getting that European game on in the Aviva, and 6,000 tickets sold out straight away.
Amazing.
So there's a lot of good things happening with Bohemians.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Dan there, and you know, we're so proud and happy to have Keith Long and Trevor Crawley as the custodians of our team and future, and you know, and the fact that they got long term contracts, and we've got a great young squad there, great academy. But to me, at the moment, like right now, the most important person we have in Dalymount is Dan Lambert, and he does incredible work for the club, and doesn't get the credit he deserves an awful lot of the time. You know, there will be the people as well who will say Bowes are hipsters, and you know,
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, the political and all this kind of stuff. And you know, when things weren't going well at the start of the season, Dan became a soft target to a lot of people, going, yeah, if we didn't spend so much time trying to save the climate, we might be doing better. Like, as if Keith Long was going, lads, we're not going to practice free kicks tonight. We're going out to Dollymount to pick up the plastic off the pitch, like, off the beach. Like, do you know what I mean? Cop on. Dan is brilliant for us. I think the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate life and what is good. And to me, local football, Dalymount Park on a Friday night,
real life football.
It's just there's nothing like it. And thankfully, anyone that I've introduced to it, I've been so lucky. One of the obviously the big name that a recent convert is PJ Gallagher. Anyone who I've brought down to it, PJ's a classic example, has just fallen in love with it.
Okay.
And gone, where has this been all my life? And I'm going, I know, I've been telling you.
And what was it that you persuaded, how did you go about persuading PJ, or how did you get him involved?
I was on tour with him, and you know, obviously we talk, because it'd be a bit weird if we didn't. and he knew about my connection with Bowes and going out to Daly, and he says, you still going out to see Bowes? And I'm going, yeah. And then I said, have you ever been to a League World match? And he went, no, to me, it's a terrible shame. He was a bit embarrassed. Yeah. No, I haven't, because he's been to Old Trafford and he's been to.
And he's a genuine sports fan, isn't he?
Oh, he's a massive season ticket holder at the Hill 16, Dublin, like, you know. Okay. But he's
what's
said
to that? Me, what's the Hill 16?
Eternal shame. He says, I've never been to a League of Ireland match. And I says, well, then that's going to change next season. And he went, who will I go down and see? I says, what do you mean, who will you go down and see? You go down and see Bowes. Mm. You're a Northsider, so you go down and see Bowes. He went down. The very first match that PJ went to was a match I couldn't be at, unfortunately.
So you didn't go with him the first night he went?
Yeah, it was the opening match of the season, Bowes Rovers, the Paddy Kavanagh chip van goal.
We covered it. I was working that. Were you working that?
The storm, didn't it? Day the storm.
No, remember Paddy, and he ran out to the chip van and all celebrating with the girls.
Bowes won 3-1.
Brilliant.
Right. Rovers went 1-0 up, and Bowes won 3-1. Yeah. And PJ went to that game. I was doing a charity gig that night, so which had been planned months in advance, and I couldn't just pull out a charity gig because Bowes was playing Rovers. And I say to a woman, sorry, I can't be there. Bowes are playing Rovers tonight. I'm really sorry about your incident. I was checking my phone all night at the gig, and you know, Rovers went 1-0 up, and I was like, oh, Jesus. But I told my brother and my son to look out for PJ when he arrives, because he'd be on his own.
Right.
And they sent me a picture of the three of them in the stand going, yeah. I was like, ah, nice one, they're all right, they're all together now, it's all good. And then Bowes got the equaliser, and then 2-1 and 3-1. And then I was kind of buzzing, I was on stage, and I was doing my jokes, couldn't wait to get off stage. So I went off stage and had a big long text from PJ going, I've been to Old Trafford when Ronaldo scored a hat-trick, I've been to the Olympics, I've been to the Tour de France, I have never ever seen anything like that tonight. The experience, he says, it was unbelievable. He says there was grown men being passed along my head falling down the terraces when Bowes scored. He said the place was just bedlam. He says, and I am hooked. And as you know, I had to say, look, it's not always like this. I'll be honest with you. This is the Dublin Derby. This is Bowes Rovers. It's not always like this. And he goes, I don't care. And I remember a few weeks later, I think Bowes were playing Waterford up in Dalymount, and it was nil all. And he was sitting there looking at him, going, I told you it wasn't always like this. You know? But he's like, I've never seen somebody who's taken to it so passionately. Like, he is obsessed. He buys all the merchandise and makes himself available for Bowes when they're doing charity community events. PJ's there. I'll do it. He said, it's the maddest place I've ever been in my life, but I love it.
See, it's probably wrong of us because we're ingrained in it, right? And we live for it and love it, as you know. So it's probably wrong for us to be like telling people, come down and do this. And we still do it anyway. Mm-hmm. I always get the feeling and the perception out there as well with people is that they always make a judgment without actually going to see a game. And I'm saying to myself, just come. All you have to do, come down. If you don't like it, go home, that's fine. Yeah. And go and do whatever else you do. But just come before you make a statement about it, and I don't like this or I don't like that, or I heard it's fucking rubbish or whatever.
Yeah.
Just come down and watch a match. Now, obviously, as you says, there's some games a lot better than other games that you'll get in any league in the world, particularly the Dublin Derbies in the last 3 or 4 years since Bowes have been doing really well, and they had the hoodoo over them for a long time as well. And the games have been unbelievable. But I would just love to get 100 people that have never been to a game, just lads, just come along to a game, and let it grow that way, because it is something special. Obviously, I grew up in the Showgrounds as a kid, and the Showgrounds is the best place in the world on a match night, like, you know what I mean?
One of my favourite away trips as well. I love the Showgrounds, and you know, we were talking about facilities, and you know, take your hat off to Sligo Rovers and what they've done to that. It's a beautiful
but
stadium.
I remember that, Eric, right, when it used to be a shed at the back, but it was the best shed in the world, and it was the muckiest, shittiest, shittiest patch in front of the shed, and if you scored a goal you'd run down to the fence and you'd go sliding up in the air, and it was unreal. Like, honestly, Eddie Ann, and I remember my hero Johnny Kenny, who the young fella's playing now, Johnny, his dad was playing, and these were my heroes when I was growing up. Eddie Ann and the Scottish fella up front, I remember he scored a hat-trick in the Showgrounds one night, and the whole shed ran down to the fence, smashed the fence. Like, it was just, and as I say, they're all the memories I have as a kid growing up. And if we could just, but slowly but surely you can sense that, because Stewie's talked a lot about this in terms of there's a real disconnection I find now with people and what's going on in England and the money and all sorts, that all of a sudden there's an opportunity, I feel, for us to actually grab people and say, look, this is on your doorstep.
I was listening to you there talking during one of your other podcasts there a while ago, and it was around the time of the European Super League, and I think it was yourself, Stewie, who said this could be a blessing in disguise for the League of Ireland. I think I 100% agree with you. This is the time to cash. This is the time, the opportune moment to go. And I mean, I knew Dan Lambert when he was watching the European Super League unfold. He was licking his lips and rubbing his hands and going, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I've been preaching that this was going to happen eventually. So this is where we come in and be the knight in shining armour. And that's what he's trying to do. And he's getting so much love. Like COVID happened, right? So nobody's going to the games. Yet Bowes increased their season ticket sales, increased their membership, and even though they knew they weren't getting into any games, that's
incredible.
That's mental.
That's when you know there's something special
something
going
brewing
on
there, like, you know.
On top of that, Eric, as well, I wanted to touch on, because you mentioned there about the gigs and touring, and for people who don't know, you're a comedian.
Yes.
And an actor.
Some would argue.
And an actor as well.
Yeah.
Cathal Spillane.
Yes.
Is that the lad's name? Yeah.
That's the lad's name. Don't pretend you didn't watch Fair City.
My mother watches Fair City. That little Torag.
He watched for you.
But you did, I suppose. You mentioned your COVID and the pandemic, and we've all gone through a tough time and a rough time and different things. But how were you affected by that in terms of, well, the work, first of all, did everything stop?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when, you know, COVID was happening, when it first started happening, and, you know, remember the first images start coming from Italy and the Lombardy region, and you're kind of going, Jesus, looks a bit mad, doesn't it?
Yeah, the bodies in the trucks and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
I remember being in the Laughter Lounge that weekend, and our first case had happened in Ireland, and I was on stage, and I went, ladies and gentlemen, our first case of COVID in Ireland tonight! And everyone went, yeah! Because we were so stupidly, you know, we didn't realise how serious it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was something that lasted about a month or something, maybe.
We all did.
And I was kind of like, it'll blow over, you know. And then, like, I had a full, like, my next 6, 7, 8 months of gigs planned in my diary, going, nice one, that's my living now for the rest
of the year.
And
with the summer of normally being your busy year, is that really the year where
you're doing festivals and all that kind of stuff, you know, and you're usually get booked to do weddings and all that kind of stuff. It's a very lucrative time, you know.
Right.
How difficult is that industry? Sorry, Eric, take you.
How difficult is the industry? Well, I mean, if you're shit, you're not going to do well.
Literally depends on how good you are.
I think genuinely, like, I mean, if you've got an ability to make a room laugh, you're going to get booked.
Okay.
You know, and thankfully, I seem to do that quite a lot, and I got booked all over the country. You know, any festival that was going on in the country, I was booked for it. A lot of corporate work, a lot of club work. The Laughter Lounge is like one of my favourite venues in the country, and thankfully, I was one of the regulars there. You know, I love playing the Laughter Lounge. It's the biggest purpose-built venue in the country. So when you go in there on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, it's rammed. The place is electric. Like, you know what I mean? You have to be on your A game to do well the Laughter Lounge. So it is. If you're on your game, you'll do really, really well. So it happened that, you know, the announcement came to the government that the schools were closing. Mm. I mean, like, oh, Jesus, hang on, it's all a bit weird now, isn't it? And then, you know, other stuff started closing. And then I was getting cancellation after cancellation after cancellation. And then we realised we were in lockdown. We're in a full lockdown here. And I kind of go, geez. And I remember it was a bit of a novelty at the start as well. I was kind of going, again, joking about on doing Instagram stories every day, going, we're still in lockdown here. And I used to do a thing called Breakfast with Eric during global pandemic. And basically, because we're in a global pandemic, you could eat whatever the fuck you wanted. So I would pile in, like, I would have selection boxes and have bottles of vodka and whiskey and all that. And I go, so for today's breakfast, we're going to have a whole selection box, 2 bottles of vodka, because we know we're in a global pandemic. Who gives a fuck? And, like, and people loved it. Because every morning, I used to do it every morning, and I'd have different, like, people used to think I lived on an off-license.
You were doing it every day, I remember.
People used to think I lived on an off-license. But my son worked for Jemison. So he used to bring home all this stuff. So my gaff's late is like an off-license. So I was able to bring something different to the breakfast pandemic every morning. But what was brilliant about that was I was getting messages from nurses and all saying, do you know what? We're in hell at the moment because it really exploded in Ireland at that stage. He says, but your little thing that you do every morning is something we look forward to every day. It gives us a little laugh. Okay. And I just get quite emotional. Yeah, I can't believe, like, these people are on the coalface of the pandemic and they're getting a laugh out of what I'm doing here. Like, you know what I mean? And I went on record saying that, you know, that when this all blows over, it's going to put on a big, massive gig for them and it'll be free of charge for frontline health workers. So there's a lot of press coverage about that at the time as well. And then, I don't know, I suppose after a couple of months, I noticed my outlook kind of changing, and I was feeling kind of drained of energy, and I was feeling very anxious. I have had periods of anxiety before, but never to this extent. And I kind of felt really, really down. And I was looking, I kept, you know, all we were getting was bombarded with images and press about people dead, and the cases were rising, and there was no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
there was
it was always the numbers every day, wasn't it? What's the numbers?
Yeah, and there was no end game in sight, and I was kind of going, "Is this it? Like, is this the end? Is this the end of what I'm going to do? Like, I mean, is my comedy over? Is my acting
so is
over?
That, is that the main worry? Is that when it started to impact on your mental health? When you started to worry for your career?
Yeah, well, the fact that I couldn't bring any money in was what, and you know what, I know the pup scheme came out, whatever, but like. With the greatest respect, it was nowhere near what you were kind of earning, like with the comedy and all that, and what you'd become used to, and what direct debits you would set up because of that, like, you know what I mean? So a lot of that came in on top of me, and I got really, I went to a really dark place for a while.
Had you ever suffered with mental health issues before, Eric?
Apart from little bits of anxiety, nothing major, but that was the darkest I'd been, and I felt really emotional over the slightest thing. With, like, you know, I'd be snappy with my kids and all that, and I'm never snappy with my kids, and I'm going, bleeding started with that, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. and my missus as well, like, you
thought
know
it was Carl Spillane.
Yeah, you go, that you was rehearsing, are you? Shut your bleeding face. That was very good, that, shut your face. You know, so I felt I was going into a spiral. I couldn't sleep at night. I kept lying awake, staring at the ceiling, and just being like, so like really tight. And my younger brother Fenton, thankfully, I spoke to him, and he said to me, he went through a bad time, and he spoke to somebody, a counsellor. He says, what you need to do is you need to speak to somebody, a counsellor professional, and he has a good job, which he has a health plan, and he was able to get me these counselling sessions based on his health plan, because he could get some of his family treatment on it, which was great because I couldn't afford it. But there are counselling services out there where you don't get charged for, which is great, you know, which I subsequently found out about. But I went anyway, and I did these counselling sessions with this therapist, and obviously you couldn't do it because it was COVID. You couldn't be in the same room as them, so it was over the phone, it was FaceTime and whatever. But I have to say that after a few sessions, I started to feel more like myself again, and it was like when you put words to how you're feeling, it's like lifting a weight off your shoulders. I know it sounds a little bit cliched and all that, but it just, there's something about getting it out there and talking to someone and them listening, not judging, and just going, yeah, listen to you. And then they come back with some sort of, a little bit of perspective, you know, going, well, okay, I understand what you're saying there, but what about if you thought of it like this? And they're kind of going, wait, hang on, yeah, all right, yeah. That actually makes a bit more sense. Mm. And it was just kind of changing the thinking a little bit. I deleted social media. I deleted my Twitter. I deleted my Facebook, because they were a huge contributor to the anxiety I was feeling, because I wasn't personally attacked or anything like that. I was very fortunate. I mean, you get the odd attack, of course. Like, when you're in the public eye, people are just going to come for you no matter if you're good or bad, kind of thing, like, you know. But everything was COVID, and then you'd be looking at people like fighting with each other, and then, you know, the mob mentality of someone says something wrong and boom, the vultures are on them, and I was like, oh, and every day it opened up and I'd be like that. I said, why am I even on this? Yeah. What benefit am I getting out of this? So I kept Instagram because it's a friendlier environment. Yeah. You know, you're just showing cups of latte and changing the filter on your face when you get out of the shower. Like, oh, no, good morning to you.
No, it is. Yeah, like, we've discussed social media a lot here.
Yeah.
Don't even get Stewie started on it, but he's right. Twitter, I find, when I started out with Twitter, I enjoyed the aspect of, it was all sports orientated and stuff, and you could interact with people in that sense. Now, I never engaged with fellas who were just want to fucking have a go or whatever. Yeah. You don't need this. But I noticed in the last 2 or 3 years, and I've tried to kind of calm down me usage on it,
yeah,
that it's just a cesspit. Like, it's one fella shouting louder than the other fella, yeah, and the other fella coming back, and you're kind of like, lads.
Yeah, it's just full of gobshites. Yeah. It's just, you know, and the gobshites are often the loudest on it, you know.
Always.
And there's a lot of brilliant people on Twitter, a lot of amazing people who I'd love to just follow and listen to and read their stuff and get a buzz out. But then you just see the shacks and the negativity coming in, and you're like, ah, come here, listen, I just don't need this in my life right now. So I deleted that, and I deleted Facebook, and to this day, don't miss them. Okay. A single bit, like, you know.
Were you relieved? Actually, did you feel relief when you got rid of them?
Yeah, yeah. Genuinely, yeah. Felt another thing. It was like almost like the bit of therapy.
Weight off your shoulders,
you know, kind
yeah.
of going, oh my God, I feel a little bit more alive again. Like, you know what I mean? Started breathing. Then I started getting into my personal fitness, my health, breathing, and just kind of everything just started to get better then, kind of thing. Like, you know, and I think with mental health, the thing is that you're never completely cured. It's a maintenance thing. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the right things. I try and keep look after my fitness.
So do you feel as though you've totally come out the other side now of that? Or?
I wouldn't say totally, Al, but definitely I now know how to deal with bad days, whereas before I wouldn't have known how to deal with them. Like I made a lot of good things happen in my life. I quit smoking. I cut down on the alcohol. I still have my mad session every now and then, but I'm not as frequent as I used to. I used to smoke a bit of weed as well. You know, quite a lot of weed. That's all gone now. Okay. I haven't had a smoke since last September, kind of thing. Like, you know, and I'm all the better for it. And I got into my training. I went to join the gym, started working with a personal trainer and all that, and got into the best shape of my life. And I couldn't believe how good it was for my head. When you put the effort in physically, how amazing you feel in your head. So, you know, yeah, thankfully I know now how to deal with the bad days, and that's all you can do, really.
Absolutely.
I love hearing that, because you know, you found out yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When you come from a professional sports background, right? You kind of know these things already, you know, because it's part of your job. And you know, I mean, I remember from, you know, we'd probably be training at a high level from memory in our teens, right, 15, 16, like, you know. So you kind of always knew the benefits of the sports stuff, but you'd hate to preach it on other people.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People would be coming to you saying, they'd be down low, and they wouldn't, you know, their physical fitness or whatever the case may be. Would you hate to kind of get in their face and kind of tell them, like, you know, or whatever the case may be. But the fact that you kind of discovered it yourself, and you know, you had no fears about doing it either. Like, you know, I mean, just you completely just opened. It sounds to me like you completely opened yourself up to a completely new way of thinking, a new way of living.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of trust. Myself and my brother have a good relationship, and even though he's a lot younger than me, I have a lot of trust in him, and you know, he's a lot more sense than I have. You know, he always has and always will. Like, he's a bank manager. You know, yeah. He's got good head and shoulders. He's also
good,
a DJ.
It's a good start already. Yeah,
he's one of those juxtaposition people. Like, he's a DJ and a bank manager. But he was the one who gave me a lot of great advice, and I took it on board. And I said, well, you know, what have I got to lose? I don't want to feel this bad, and I felt terrible. I felt really horrible, and I said, well, at least give it a go. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Like, you know what I mean? It might make you feel a little bit better, but
it's like going back, even to relate it back to what we were saying about going to the match. Give it a go and then decide.
Yeah,
you know, you just don't know until you try it. And I actually think the pandemic has been good in some sense for people to actually open their mind to other things.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier about just the simple things and what matters to people. I felt people were totally losing the run of themselves in terms of their priorities and where they stood and what they wanted to do or what was important to them. Whereas the fact that everyone was able to press pause on things and realise, fuck, I could go for a walk here and have a cup of tea or a coffee and it's actually nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone was running and racing on to the next thing, and I have to see this one and meet this one and do this and do that.
I feel really sorry for my little Dachshund, because I got him just before the pandemic. So all he's used to is me at home. So when things go back to normal and I'm not there anymore, he's going to have a mental breakdown. I'm going to have to bring my Dachshund to the council. That's what I'm going to have to do. Little Louis going to go to the council.
You have to bring him down to Daily Mount.
How do you feel about you must miss it hugely, do you?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just doing the gigs. It's the camaraderie as well, and the circuit, and the lads and lassies that you know so well, and you make some lifelong friends there. You know, you miss all that. Like, every time, like, coming into the summer, you're going June Bank Holiday weekend. That was always the Cat Laughs weekend down at Kilkenny. So when the June Bank Holiday weekend comes around, that's two now that have come around, and we're like, oh wow. You know, okay. This wasn't, we'd be down at Kilkenny doing
is that like
laughs.
Your Euros or something?
Yeah, it is. It's like, or as the Ivy Gardens, the Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens, in July, like as somebody said, it's like the Comedian Olympics.
Okay.
You know, we're all there.
And there's a soccer match as well, I believe. Is it quite
the soccer match, which we play down there. It's the Irish comedians against the rest of the world comedians. And we played on the Evergreen pitch, who've won a couple of Leinster Junior. But it's an amazing facility. But it's great because the whole of Kilkenny comes down to watch this match, and it's like 2,000-3,000 people at a Leinster senior league ground,
okay.
And they're all crammed in, and you'd have Steve Frost from the Improv All Stars and Carl Spain on commentary, right, ripping the piss out of everybody, like, you know. But it was an amazing thing to be part of, and I loved it because I played football as a kid, and I loved the fact that I was going, I'm going to show these lads I can play with the ball here, like, and they were like, oh my god, Eric can play football. I'm going, fucking delighted, you know.
So would you be seen now, obviously, with the comedy and hope it's going to come back and stuff, would you have spent a lot of time even rehearsing stuff or going through kind of some of your material?
I should be, you would think, you know, with all that time in my hands. But
This is the kind of thing your brother now would be telling you.
Come on, Eric,
you need to get yourself together here.
Come here, I've got little bits and pieces written and all that kind of thing. And you know, what we have done is we've done online gigs, but it's never the same. You're talking into a fucking laptop, you know what I mean? There's no feedback, there's no reaction.
Yeah.
It's tough, but you got to do it because you want to get paid for something, you know? So you do it. The Laughter Lounge are brilliant. They've been trying so hard to do this stuff, and they brought us in. To do gigs as well, online gigs. So we'd go into the Laughter Lounge itself, one at a time, with the guy who's setting up the cameras. There's like three cameras, three different angles. You're on the stage in the Laughter Lounge, and you're doing your thing, and they're recording it from multi angles, making it look real professional.
Yeah.
But there's nobody there. It's okay. Empty. So you're in the Laughter Lounge, your favorite place in the world to do comedy, and you're doing that. And you can't get no momentum, like, there's no to ride the crest. A lot of the time with comedy, it's you're riding the crest of a wave from the laughter. You might even pick out somebody who's laughing stupidly. Yeah. You never laugh stupidly, or has a funny laugh. You go, what are you laughing? I believe the stare, you know. And it builds and it builds and it builds. And there's nothing like that when it happens. But when we did it there the last time, the Laughter Lounge said, Eric, can you do this bit that you do, this bit that you do? Because they'd be familiar with your sets. So they go, well, can you do this bit, and this bit? And I go, yeah, no bother. And I went on. And I forgot how he went.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'd have to, we go, sorry, pause. And I'd have to go up to your one in the Laughter Lounge and go, what way did that bit go again? And she said, well, he used to go, your man walked down the street and then he'd walk. And I'd go, oh, jeez, that's right, yeah. So, and
you'd
have
you'd want to get
down.
Rehearsing quick.
No, yeah, yeah. So, like, I've gone back to my teenage years where I'm standing in front of the mirror with a hairbrush again.
Yeah.
And I'm practicing my jokes again.
I was just going to say, is that where it, so is that where it, was it just something that you always
muscle memory
done?
Had yeah. gone. Yeah. Just, like, I used to go on stage and just, autopilot, boom, it just come out.
It's like training every day, you know.
Absolutely, and when you stop doing it for so long, it's not easy. And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I've forgotten all this. So what I do is I've been looking at some of the stuff that I did, and I'd write it out word for word so it sticks in the head again. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of material in what's happened over the last 18 months, so that's forming a new section of the set. But I've also heard from people saying, oh Eric, when you do come back to do gigs, please don't talk about COVID. We're done with it. We don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're kind of going,
I don't believe that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you know,
I
exactly.
Don't believe that.
Especially
yeah.
The Irish.
I think when this is gone, we'll be laughing about this the time will be perfect. I think we'll be laughing.
Oh, yeah, we'll make it sound like it was the best crack ever.
Yeah,
that's what we do, Eric.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is what we do. Eric, yeah, it's great to see you. We're going to just touch on some of the games. Obviously, your beloved Bows, back to winning ways after Sligo Rovers gave them a lesson the week before.
Slaughtered
and funny enough, I tipped Bows last week because they're on such a good run.
Yeah,
we've spoken about it so much, and Bohemians are not far off. I've said this weekly, every week I've said it. And then when I saw them after the break go on the run, I think they pick up 13 points out of 15. Mm-hmm. I was in at the Rovers game to beat them there 1-0. Georgie scored, and I'm thinking they're up and running now. They're really motoring, and I was thinking even though we have three at the top, I still wouldn't rule out Bows. But then they go to Sligo, and Sligo obviously destroyed them, and you're thinking, and I spoke to a couple of Bows fans, and they're like, typical Bows and all, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still wouldn't rule them out, lads. So to go back to winning ways against Pats last week, huge win for them.
A massive result for us. And, you know, for the first 20, 25 minutes even of the Pats game, I was a little bit worried. because I was kind of I was looking for a reaction from Bowes, but for the first 20-25 minutes of that game, I thought Pat's kind of bossed it a little bit and were in control, and it's kind of gone, oh, I was a little bit worried. But then Georgie stepped up, as he has done so often now in the last.
He's flying, isn't he, Georgie?
Looking, he won player of the month there, and I'm so happy for him, so deserved. And he got an awful lot of stick at the start. I remember when he signed for, like, before he, when he was with Dundalk, me and my young fella Alex, we talked about the League of Ireland all the time and who's good and who wasn't. I like him off that team, like off. And Georgie Kelly, every time he played against Bowes for Dundalk, and he didn't play that often.
He always came on.
Always came on or start the odd game against us because Bowes made a massive team, a massive challenge. So we'll start Georgie this week. It's only Bowes. He'd always score against us and he'd destroy us. Yeah. And I go, oh, I would love it. And then he went to Pats and it didn't work out for him. I was saying to Alex, I'd still love him at Bowes. And then Bowes announced him as a sign of me and Alex was like, yes, play nice one. Because I thought the way we played, the way Keith Long's philosophy was, it would suit Georgie. Because we get it into the striker, we play it to his feet, he takes it on, you know, like you look at Andrew Wright last season, he was our man last season, he was such an important cog in the wheel that was Bowes last season. But Georgie Kelly to me is like five times the player that Andrew Wright was.
Well, he's more of a goal scorer as well.
Andrew
Wright, for all the good work he did, he never really gets you the goals.
No, and also Georgie would work much harder than him. Georgie never stops running. Yeah. Like he gives defenders a nightmare.
Well, he's 12 goals now, and when we would have covered loads of the games even up at Dundalk. I remember there was a night Hooban, it wasn't really going well for him towards not the season last year, the previous one, and I was saying Georgie was making an impact every time he was coming on, and I was saying he's on the verge of taking over from Hooban here. Hooban needs to kind of get the finger out.
Yeah.
And I remember making the point, if I was Georgie Kelly, I'd be battering down the door to say I'm ready to go here, like.
Yeah.
And then he ended up leaving, obviously, and I was thinking he's going to be a hell of a signing. Pat's got him. And I know things didn't work out, but even I still thought, like you, when he went to Bowes, there's still the makings of plenty here. And if you look around the league as well, there's no real top quality centre forwards, I don't think. Hooban has kind of gone off a little bit. I was mad about McMillan when he was
McMillan,
there. McMillan was always good.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's like obviously Johnny is up and coming, the young lad at Sligo. But Georgie is probably best placed to be the best centre forward in the league, like.
Absolutely, and I think that's where we're a bit little bit light as a squad. I think the Bowes squad is a very strong, lot of depth in a lot of positions, but I think up front that's where we're a bit light, and we're you know, if something happens to Georgie, we're kind of screwed. And I think that is something that Keith Long is probably looking at this window, is that, you know, maybe we need to bring someone in. But as you say, there's a lot of talent out there.
It's hard to get them,
you know. But he does seem to have a good nose for, you know, a player coming back from England.
Well, that's where he's done a phenomenal job. Yeah. Like, in terms of the Bowes fans, the general chit chat amongst them, they must be delighted with Keith Long, are they?
Oh, he's a hero. Like, I mean, as I said to myself, look, when the new stadium is built, they need to name one of the stands after him and call it the Long Stand.
But I saw someone last week.
Tell me that, Stewie.
I saw someone last week.
Over
the Long Stand, yeah, I like it. Yeah. The old stand, the Long Stand.
It's that, you need to work on that material, I told you.
It was the delivery, yeah.
But here's one for you, right? As a fan, and I saw someone tweeting this last week even saying, but he hasn't won anything.
No, he hasn't.
Now, I'd be all of the view, like the job, because the reason I'm all for him in terms of when you lose your best players every year and you're trying to replace that, it must be the hardest job in the world as a manager.
Who said that? He hasn't won anything.
I don't know. I just saw someone, chatting about it on Twitter.
There will be people who I mean, there's even some Bowes fans who still. I'm baffled at this.
Yeah.
Like, do you not realise what this man has done for this
phenomenal
club?
Job?
Every year, he's got to deal with losing. Like, we lost
his best players, not ordinary players. Yeah. His best players,
like,
every year.
Really pivotal players like Twarde, Grant, Mandrew, Casey, all gone from last
season.
But I
go back to Supple the year before, all through the spine of the team and all.
Yeah,
I remember.
Every year, and he's had to rebuild and still has us up there and making us competitive. And, you know, but I think, you know, Bowes are on such a good financial footing now. There's talk of securing players longer term, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
You look at the team at the moment there, like, there's the makings of such a good team. Now, I'm mad about Dawson DeVoys, you know, like, I think Dawson is going to be, I said it a few weeks ago, for me, he's the best young player in the league, and I think he could be the best in the league eventually, but he could go away as well because he's that good,
and it looks like
he will. But you look even around, like, Coote has done really well since he's come in, Burt on the other side, so there's the makings
again of
Tyreek scoring free kicks, but in general play as well, he's very, very good, and young and all. Like, there's the makings of a really promising team there, if he can hold on to them all.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, I mean, you're looking at Rory Feely as well, has been an absolutely brilliant signer for us. Like, I think he started off a little bit slowly, but every time I've seen him, I'm like hugely impressed. his athleticism and his and in fact that he can play centre and play right full, and he's given Andy Lyons competition there, and Andy Lyons is a super right back, but now he's got competition. He has to be on his game when he gets a game, and Andy had a super game against Pats there on Friday night. So there's real competition for places in the team and in the squad. And you look at Bassinieri, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe we signed Bassinieri. He's played about 10 minutes for us this season. I'm like, what's going on there? Like, you know, but the lads are doing the business and he just can't get in.
So while we're coming up to Eric, obviously it's a huge week in terms of the European scene as well. Obviously, Bose, we're going to touch on that, but we have to mention Shamrock Rovers because they're playing tomorrow night. I know you won't want to mention Shamrock. No, I'm joking. They're playing tomorrow night in the Champions League, obviously the qualifier, but they've a really, really tough task ahead of them, Stewie. Slovan Bratislava, you look at them over the last 3 years, they've won their domestic title 3 years in a row. They've won four out of the last Slovak Cups, League and Cup double the last two seasons. Like, it's a serious pedigree to have. Vladimir Weiss is the manager who used to manage the national team. Then he was the Georgia manager. His son, who people will remember, he was at Man City as well as playing with them. He was with the Slovakian squad at the Euros. They were in the group stages in 2019 as well, picked up 4 points in the Europa League. So this is a serious, serious task for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I know. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the league hasn't kicked off over there yet, right?
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously probably to Rovers' advantage. But do you know what, Al, it's at a stage now where you can't kind of pick and choose your your opposition who you get in European football. I think the days are, I made this point before only a couple of reasons, the days of us looking at the European draw and closing our eyes and crossing our fingers and putting them behind our back and go, please give us somebody easy. It doesn't happen anymore, like, you know. So
and we don't want that.
We have professional outfits here. We have teams that have very professional attitude, very good experience when it comes to Europe, tactically astute. I always found that we started to improve in Europe from my own experience when we sort of, the experience helps, you know, year on year the experience helps, but tactically, you know, when you started to do the video evidence and you gathered more information on who you were playing against and you started to understand the different approaches tactically to a team, and you got more confidence and things like that. So I think we're way beyond those years where we expect to get thumped or whatever the case may be. This is a difficult tie, but I don't see it as difficult a tie as any of the other big achievements that the likes of Dundalk or even Rovers have had in the last couple of years.
Yeah, like
Rovers have had a quite good success in Europe in the last two or three years. You know, they've been building towards it.
And that's the thing. Even though, like, I'm outlining their qualities, that doesn't mean to say I'm writing Shamrock Rovers out of this. I just think it's going to be a tough task, and I think Shamrock Rovers will acquit themselves very well. And I hope to do, obviously, for the league and all that kind of stuff. I just think it's going to be a really tough ask. But to be fair, the Shamrock Rovers, you said, they played Milan and gave a great account of themselves last year, Limassol before that. So you're looking at them at the moment, even last week. I thought it was huge for them to get the victory in the league last week because they've stuttered in recent weeks. They've picked up only two wins in the last eight in the league. I haven't been impressed with them all. I've said it numerous times. Towell obviously played his first game, left out Mandry, because I feel he's been trying to accommodate Mandry on Burke, and I'm not sure it's working out. He left out Mandry out the other day. Burke wasn't playing either. Towell came in, and he went back to that kind of three in the middle, which I think suits them better. So it was really important. They went the goal down as well, fought back, and obviously won 3-1. So it was a huge win. I know Dundalk are not the Dundalk of old, but it's still Dundalk. It's still a big win, especially going into a European game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they need that confidence. I think I wouldn't be at all surprised if Rovers, that focus has been on Europe maybe since the end of May. You know, because I always felt as a player that you had to kind of mentally switch towards that preparation lead in time, like, you know, playing against different players, better quality players. So the fact that maybe their results were a little bit erratic might explain it, but coming into this game to get a win, and especially against Dundalk, you know, can only help them. I do think this, I don't know how you guys think about it, I just have a feeling there might be a little bit more focus on the European stuff this year because of the fact that, you know,
from everyone or from Shamrock Rovers?
I think like you were confidently saying there, I think things are changing. I think people from the outside are looking in now saying, do you know what, maybe.
We used to find Stewie will back me up on this, the only time we ever felt like proper professional footballers in this country was at Europe, because it was the only time the country paid attention.
Yeah, Yeah, because the League of Ireland was like the bowl child. It was just ignored. To, you know, when you see rugby and GAA in this country and the local games was ignored.
So the only time people from the outside would actually look in and say, oh, they're playing such and such from Europe.
Yeah, yeah. But the time when you were playing Deportivo and all that, and that became massive news and all of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people went, we have a league here. And that when those matches happened, which is sad, but that's the fact.
And as things have progressed with Shamrock Rovers, when they got to the group stage and the stuff with Dundalk in recent times, Pat's playing, remember... hurt the Berlin as well and different things, but it's the only time people from the outside actually sit up and think, "Fucking hell!" And you're kind of like, "Well, these lads play every Friday night, probably 4 or 5 miles down the road from you, like, you know."
Yeah, yeah. And it was an interesting thing I think you said there, Stewie, a while ago on one of the podcasts, was that about Bowes, that you think maybe they went a bit light in pre-season.
That's what I felt. Maybe try that was my impression
around this time. And
you
could be right.
When
you look at their performances recently, they are really hitting them, apart from the Sligo hiccup. They really have hit their groove, and the thing that always impressed me about Dundalk over the last few years was their conditioning, their physicality.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I can see a bowl squad kind of
It's like all those teams have caught up now.
Yeah, and it's great. That's what we needed. That's why Dundalk were so good for the league. Yeah. They made everyone else raise their standards.
Of course they did, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And speaking of Sligo here, obviously Sligo are playing the Europa League as well on Thursday night, and they're playing against FH. Who, Stewie?
Hafnarfjörður.
Well, there's a man on the line, an old teammate of mine, that might be able to pronounce that a bit better than us. And he's had a really good time of it over the years in Iceland, playing with FH Hafnarfjörður or whatever you call them. And that's an old teammate of mine, Mr. Stephen Lennon. Stevie, how are you?
I'm great, mate. Nice to speak to you.
You too, Steve. It's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Just obviously preparing for these European games. So, everybody's pretty excited. Okay. As you just said, they're probably the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, and do you get a sense, Stevie, it's funny you say that, because that's, you've obviously heard us speaking there about our domestic league, but would that be something similar in Iceland? Do the clubs and maybe the fans and the people from the outside get the same sense that when these games come around, they all know just how important they are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously the games in the league are obviously pretty good, but I think all the players and all the media pay a lot more attention. All the detail becomes a lot more exaggerated and stuff. And the financial aspect for the clubs is obviously there. So these are definitely the biggest games of the summer for the Icelandic clubs. And I would imagine the same for the Irish boys.
So just before we get into the game Thursday night, Stevie, it's been 10 years since we were teammates. You were only a little young boy at that stage. You still have held on to those boyish good looks. I have as well, by the way, Stevie. But if you go back to, obviously, when you finished up with Dundalk, I think you went to Newport. But what actually took you across to Iceland in the first place? I know you were with a couple of teams before you ended up with FH, but what was it that took you across there in the first place?
It was just probably the opportunity to play abroad. I'd grown up at Glasgow Rangers, obviously. Came through a decent academy there where it was all about technical play and being with the ball a lot. And then since I left Rangers, I really struggled to kind of find my place where I wanted to be. I was playing maybe some lower leagues in England and came over to Dundalk, which wasn't as successful as I wanted. So it was just an opportunity to go abroad, and via an agent and the coach at the club at the time, it just worked out nice and I took the chance, and I've not looked back since, really.
Yeah, brilliant. It seems to have gone really well. Obviously you signed with a team called Fram, then you had a year in Norway as well, but really, I suppose, since you signed with FH in 2014, I was only looking at your stats as well there, Stevie. Now, I knew how good you were, but just looking at your stats, they surprised me. 78 goals in 133 games, so you've done really well.
That's over one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a little bit slower tempo here, so I get more time in the ball, and I'm a technical player, so I think players that are got a good technique and stuff, and when they get more time in the ball, you might get more opportunities. So, it's been really nice for me playing in European competitions and winning a league and stuff. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, because they're regularly in Europe. I think they've qualified for Europe every year since 2004, looking back. So as you say, you've got plenty of exposure in the European games as well. But just, I suppose, there's nobody better placed than you then to, if you were to compare. And I know it's very hard to compare leagues, but obviously, say, our league here, Stevie, and I know it's 10 years since you played in it, but would it be something similar of a standard in the Icelandic league?
Yeah, I mean, we played Dundalk, that good side, in 2016. Mm. And that ended 3-3, I think. Dundalk went through on the away goals.
Yeah,
but I think overall the quality is the same, but the big difference will be the Irish lads in the league is a lot higher tempo and physicality than it is in Iceland, to be honest. But I would imagine both sides, the Irish teams and the Icelandic teams, are probably both fancy themselves in the tie. So I would imagine it'll be whoever's on their game on both games should probably go through. But I expect them both to be even.
Now, I know you're a technical player. Are you trying to suggest we're agricultural or something, Steve? I certainly wasn't like that. I certainly was. Stewie had kicked the lumps out of you.
You were soft as shite. That's what you were.
But I suppose going into the game Thursday night, and of course I'm from Sligo, so we're really looking forward to the game, Stevie, and I'm hoping to get down to Sligo next week, so I'm hoping to catch up with you. But going into the game, you mentioned it there that maybe both teams will fancy their chances. You obviously fancy your chances there, despite the fact that you haven't been playing great and you haven't won in the last 8 games domestically.
Yeah, that's a big thing for us. This is really important for both us as players and the club financially, because we might not qualify for Europe for next year. So I think there's a big emphasis as a group and a club on this game. But I think domestic football kind of goes out the window a little bit when these games come around. I think it's happened before. Teams have struggled in the league, but when they get to these European games, they can go on like a little run. So hopefully we can do the same, because we have some great players, and on paper we are one of the best teams here. But for whatever reason, it's just, you know how football is, it's just not clicked.
Yeah, because that surprised me when I was only looking up, obviously, the last couple of weeks of your standing at the moment and where you are in the league, because you've done quite well and done really well in recent years. So what can you put your finger on why things haven't worked out as well this year?
Not really, because we strengthened. We got a boy, he's an older boy from Rosenborg. He's played most of his career in Norway, and we've got players who have played in the Danish league for a number of years and even in Scotland and stuff. So we've got a good starting 11, but we've just not really clicked together, and there's a few of the main players are kind of getting on in our 30s, so that doesn't help, and the young lads maybe haven't stepped up as much. But hopefully we can turn it around. There's still half a season and these are European games, so we have to just try and be positive and look forward.
And in terms of your preparation on Sligo, Stevie, you've obviously done your homework, the staff would have, but have you seen much of Sligo this year or heard much about them? I'm not giving too much secrets away, but they're very good.
No, I've seen a few of your tweets recently saying they're very good, so I've been looking at them.
No, they're on top of the league. It's probably surprised people, Stevie, certainly me this year. I didn't have them down as title challengers at the start of the year. They've still been building, and they obviously qualified for Europe on the last day last year. They weren't as good last year, but the big thing for them this year is the recruitment was really good in the off-season, and they've a couple of young lads coming through. So they've probably surprised people this year, but they are really, really strong and looking very good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that myself. I've watched maybe not full games, but parts of games and highlights, and I've got a few inside men in Ireland who have been telling me things. So I think it'll be a very difficult match for us. But like I said, on our day, if we play properly, then we should give them a proper game.
And Stevie, tell me all about Stjarnan. Are they any use? They used to win leagues every year, and now they're struggling this season as well.
Yeah, I think they're going through the same type of story as us, but I think the way you were talking about Bowes, they're starting to really start to play well, and Stratton have been struggling this year, so I think that's another one whoever's on their game should go through. But I don't really rate Stratton that highly. I think they've only got one or two players who have got decent quality enough to hurt Bowes, so I think it could be good for the Irish lads.
You give them a good chance, yeah. Stevie, before I let you go, and you've been great with your time, because I know you're obviously preparing there and training at the moment, but you played under Eidur Gudjonsson as well for the last two or three seasons. Just, I suppose, we mentioned earlier, you are a technical player, so just to play under the likes of him, and what was he like as a manager?
Yeah, he was great. He was, obviously, he was a great footballer and technically very gifted and stuff, so he was, but to be honest, he's more like a British coach. He's more demanding, and obviously he's played for Chelsea under Mourinho and stuff, so he's very demanding of his standards. And it wasn't actually a few years. He was only in for a few months, to be honest.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, he came in at the halfway through last year, and he got a good reaction out of the boys just purely because who he is. So we never really got to see too much of his coaching. And then he went up with the national team to be the assistant. So But I loved having him. He's a legend, and he was a great guy with all of us.
Okay, Stevie, listen, it's been great talking to you, and as I say, I'm going down to the game next week. We will catch up, but you be on your best behaviour now Thursday night, and no shenanigans out of you against Sligo Rovers, okay?
I'll try my best just to keep two or three going in.
All right, Stevie, I'll see you next week. Thanks a million, pal.
All right. Brilliant.
See you later.
Cheers.
All the best.
Bye.
Really interesting, lads. Obviously, you wanted to know about Stjarnan as well. So we were looking at the league table before, Eric, and I give them every chance, like Rovers and Bowes this year. They'd have to fancy their chances going into these games.
Yeah, my worry with Sligo would be I think in European football you need that lead in time, you know, that kind of experience of knowing how to kind of really deal with the travelling.
And it's a young team.
It's a young team. I mean, I'm worried about the lack of experience in the Sligo team. I think if they go out and play, they have got a real chance, but you heard Stevie talking about there, they've got experienced players in there, and they just think that's the issue. Like, you know, that would be the issue for me.
And to be fair, Stu, it's a good point, because they're operating, they've qualified for Europe every year since 2004.
Yeah, there's a way to qualify, Al. Like, you know, you don't have to be at your best. You just have to, for want of a better phrase, you have to beat the opposition you're playing against. Like,
manage
the game, exactly, Eric. And which is why I'm quite confident in Bowes. I think Bowes have been knocking on the door as well, despite the fact that they've always had a young enough squad, and Keith's brought them through, but they've had some they've played really well in Europe, and they're kind of peaking at the right time. You listen to what Steve was saying about Stjarnan. I don't know whether I wouldn't like to hear what he said there, you know, as a player, because I think they need to be focused, right?
Yeah,
last thing
when's this going out? Friday, that's all right. So
we'll just bleep it all out, like, you know. But the home game in the Aviva, like, how do you feel about that?
I'm so excited, like, as a fan. Like, I mean, we've been heartbroken over the last few years, waiting, hoping, and praying Bowes will get to the FA Cup final. You know, I remember that night down in Turner's Cross, the replay.
Oh, stop!
And the first game, the penalty
should have won.
They
should have won the one.
I fell out with about 1,000 people over that.
Oh
penalty.
My God! Shocking! Is it? We were heartbroken, but we went down. The big gang of us, 800 Bowes fans, went down to Turner's Cross that night for the replay. Cork got two goals. Ian Morris, screamer.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I was given out because the goalkeeper had his water bottle in the back of the goal, and the ball came off the stanchion and hit the water bottle and came back out. So for about a second, everyone just went, and the referee just went, goal. And then we all went, yeah!
That was incredible. Some goal.
Delayed reaction kind of thing. But heartbroken that night. And yeah, like, we've prayed and hoped that we'd get to the FA Cup final. And I've been to the FA Cup final when Bowes haven't been there, and so jealous of the teams that were there.
Yeah.
I went for the occasion, obviously, but so jealous of the other teams that were there, going, oh man, I'd love to see Bowes here. And now it's a reality. Obviously, albeit 6,000.
How were they doing the tickets, by the way?
Well, what they did was 24 hours before they went on general sale, they opened it up to the members and the season ticket holders. So we had a little window.
Oh, great.
With a code. Great. And the 3,500 tickets that were allocated to them went like that. Like, they were like in an hour or
gone,
something, they were gone.
Mm.
And then we were kind of going, geez, I wonder how they'll sell on general sale tomorrow. And then we're in 2 hours, boom, they were gone. Mm. So we're kind of going, oh my God, like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
like, you know,
it's going to be great.
It's like, I know it's a 51,000 seater stadium, but it's 6,000 Bowes fans.
Oh, but the atmosphere that'll create.
I watched the rugby. I watched the rugby on Saturday just to get a buzz on the Aviva. There was 3,000. It was Ireland, Japan. There was 3,000. And even the posh people made a bit of a noise.
Even the posh people.
So I'm kind of going, I only see 6,000 hipsters there. it's going to be some crack. I can't wait. I'm really excited.
We have to mention Dundalk are obviously in European action as well. They're playing the Welsh team Newtown, and they should take care of them. And I think Newtown have been hit hard with the COVID cases. I know there's a couple of cases in Sligo as well, which is a bit of a blow to the two lads involved. But hopefully one of them will be back next week for that game, the second leg. But we do wish all the teams the best of luck in Europe. Obviously, the games, as I said, Shamrock Rovers are tomorrow night, 5:30 kickoff, and all the Europa Conference League games are all on Thursday evening as well. So we'll have a full report on them next week, and hopefully they're all still in with a chance of qualifying. I believe they will be. I'd be quite confident about the team's chances going into it. I'll just run through the results quickly of the first division as well. Bray 2, Cove 1, Wexford 4, Athlone 4, UCD 0, Galway 2, Shells 1, Stu, kept the run going, injury time goal, Cabin Teely 0, and Cork 2, 3-3. And it's tightening up a little bit from second and third. As we mentioned, Tommy Baird is doing a brilliant job. That was a huge win for Treaty. But Galway have hit a bit of form recently as well under John Caulfield, and that was a good win for them away from UCD. There's only a couple of games, fixtures this week, obviously, with the teams involved in Europe. Finn Harps are playing Waterford and Pats and Derry on Friday, and Longford and Drogheda on Saturday evening. But that was episode 17. Eric, it's been a pleasure.
I really enjoyed that. Thanks very much. I felt like another therapy session. I feel good again.
Okay, brilliant. Very good. Well, we wish you all the best. Start working on that material.
I will indeed. Yeah,
but we wish you all the best.
And we want 2 free tickets, by the way.
Yeah, no bother at all. No bother.
We do, yeah. We'll be the hecklers in the front row. Shall we be ranting?
Oh, please do sit in the front
row. We will. I'll tell you what, we will. You get us a ticket, we'll go.
Please do. And Paul as well. Yeah, big thanks to Paul out there. It's our birthday show, so thanks to everybody, obviously, who subscribe and listen and give us feedback and messages every week. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back again next week. And a big thanks to Benetti Menswear, because without them there would be no show. So big thanks to them as well, and we'll chat to you next week. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.